Good morning. This is Pastor Anthony and Sam Hazleton here with you on a Sunday morning on a great episode of Old Lion, Young Lion. And we are a show that loves to talk about what the Bible has for us and for you. And we uncover the truths that are in Scripture and we speak them out to the world and the airwaves. And you may be asking, why do you call your show Old Lion, Young Lion? And that is because we work for the greatest lion of all time. The Bible declares Jesus Christ to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we seek to follow in our Lord's footsteps and be lions that are boldly preaching the word of God. We are instructed by Scripture to be bold as lions. That the Bible says that the righteous are to speak boldly as lions, and we intend to do so. Now, Sam and I are part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church, located on 2350 Hamburg Street, and we'd love for you to come and hang out with us and come to one of our gatherings and worship Jesus Christ, and especially during the Easter season, we'd love for you to come join us for one of our services. And so we've been in the book of Colossians over the last few weeks, and we would love for you to continue to join us on this adventure that we've been going through in this small book. It's only about four chapters or so, and it's been powerful in the weeks. If you've been with us so far, you've recognized that these chapters have been powerful and meaningful to each and every one of us. Now, before we get into today's episode, we want to remind you about a campaign that we have going on in 2024, and that is that if you email us a question or a topic that makes it onto the show, you will receive one of our very own pieces of Old Lion, Young Lion Church merch. And so if you want this summer's highly desirable pieces of fashion, you will email us a topic or question for our show. And you can email us at this following email address, oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Again, that email address is oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, we have a little bit of a tradition on our show. Every week, we ask you to participate in this, and we ask our resident Old Lion here to kick off our show with a word of prayer. And we ask that in sincerity, you take a moment, take a deep breath wherever you are, if you're in your car or if you're in your home, if you just take a moment and pause with us and pray. So, Sam, would you mind kicking off our show with a word of prayer today?
Not at all. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We come to you today. We look forward to opening your word. It's honey to our taste. We look out around us. We see the world is falling apart. But Lord, your word gives us hope. Everything we read in here builds us up. It strengthens us. It doesn't condemn us. It lifts us up and gives us hope for the future. So, Father, as we open the Word of God today, I ask that you'd give us understanding, that everybody within the sound of our voice would be encouraged by it. Lord, help us to take these truths from the Word of God and apply them so that we could walk in wisdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, the reason why we pray in Jesus' name is because our Savior Jesus instructed us to do so. And he says, if you ask for anything in my name, it will be granted to you. And so we try to pray our best in Jesus' name. And we also pray a blessing over all of you that are listening to the show. And we hope that whatever part of your life that you're in or whatever season that you're in right now, that this show is a blessing to you and helps you in your journey to take a step closer to the Almighty God. And all pursuits here on earth, they pale in comparison to the pursuit of following and seeking after Jesus Christ. And so we pray a blessing over you in that. So let's talk about this, Sam. Give us a little recap on where we've been so far in the book of Colossians, where we're at today, where we're going in the future. Give us a little history lesson on this book and some insight to where we're going to today.
Well, Paul wrote this letter to the Colossian church when he was in prison in Rome. And we thank God that Paul did so much time in jail, because otherwise we wouldn't have our New Testament.
Right, right.
But we crossed the great divide last week. In Paul's epistles, he starts out always by giving the theory, and then he ends up his epistles by giving the practice. Theory is what we need to believe. Practice is how we should walk it out in our lives. We started Colossians chapter 3, and that's where the letter splits from theory to practice, and say, okay, now these things are true. how should we then live? And it talked about how we should set our minds, set our affections on things that are above where Christ is and not on things that are on the earth. We shouldn't be preoccupied with our bucket list. We shouldn't be preoccupied with what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? We should be preoccupied with, hey, am I storing up treasures in heaven where I'm going to live forever with God? We also talked about the difference between belief and effort. What we do, our behavior doesn't make us good.
Wow.
What we believe changes who we are. Our belief is what's going to have the power to transform who we are. And therefore, once changed, once we become a new creature, a new person, we will just naturally walk out those things that are good.
I love that because most of what the world out there is selling you is how you can make yourself better, how all these magazines, the You Magazine, Me Magazine, I Magazine, Women's Magazine, Men's Magazine, all of these magazines are about, and all these instructions that you find out in the world today are about how you can be a better you. And Jesus says, I don't know if you can be a better you, but I can make you a new you. By placing your faith in me, as Jesus Christ has died on the cross and conquered death and rose from the dead, he now says those that place their faith in him can be made new and now can walk a life that is honoring to God and glorifying to God, and now can go out and accomplish things that have mission and purpose and fulfillment. And so we get to Colossians chapter number 3, and it gives us this bombshell about where our basis is, where our foundation is as a Christian. But it starts out at the beginning of this saying, if. So I think we need to recognize that there are people that may think they are Christian or Christian adjacent, but they haven't placed their faith in Jesus. They haven't had a moment where they say, I believe that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for my sins and made me new. You may be out there saying, well, my grandma had a Bible at her house once, so and I try my best to do good. And when someone puts on a charity event, I try to give to it or help at it. Those are not the things that make you new. Those are not the things that give you purpose and fulfillment. They seem nice. They can be nice. They might be good to do those things, but those are not the things that make you into something new, that give you eternal purpose and mission. It all comes from you placing your faith and from your heart and mind, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. So we come to the middle of Colossians chapter number 3, and I love this. When theory gets put into practice, Paul gives us some regular instructions for how we ought to live. And he gives us one final parable before he jumps into his direct instructions. He gives us one final parable in verse number 9 and 10. So, Sam, why don't you kind of unpack a little bit about what he's telling us about this kind of analogy of old man, new man, and then let's start digging into some of the instructions that he gives for the believers to walk in.
Okay, so in verse 9, but before we get to verse 9, I just want to read verses 7 and 8.
Oh, yes, yes, so good. Go ahead.
We didn't get to those last week. It says, in these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Now, you probably know people who are angry all the time. I remember there was a time in my life I was one of those people. I was just angry all the time. I didn't know why I was angry. Nobody else knew why I was angry. I was just angry. And so this is something that the...
Sam, before you go on,
yeah,
I think that that needs to be recognized, that more people are dealing with that than you think. If you're out there, I want you to pay very close attention. What old lion, our resident old lion here, is about to share with us in regards to someone's anger, among other things. You may be dealing with this. It's in more men and women's hearts, especially in the West, than we like to believe. So if you are someone that's been wrestling with anger every day or on a regular basis, pay attention to what's about to be said.
Yeah, so this anger, it comes from somewhere. And the root of our anger is our separation from God. There's this angst in our spirit. There's this fear that's in our hearts. There's this aloneness that we're feeling, this isolation, this dissatisfaction that we feel on the inside that's producing this anger.
Yeah.
And that all comes from being separated from God. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, I believe, it says that God His hand is not short that he cannot save you. His hand is not short and that he cannot reach you. But your sins have made a separation between you and your God, and your iniquities have hidden his face from you. We have to understand that God is holy. He's perfect. He's loving. He never thinks or does anything wrong.
That's good.
And so when the Bible says God's eyes are too pure to even look upon sin. Wow. And so when we have sin indwelling in our lives, we cut ourselves off from God's favor. We cut ourselves off. And so there's this wall of separation between us. And so this is the condition that produces all these things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. How many of you at work just hear people, and I've seen it over the course of my lifetime as an old lion here, I've been around for 60 years, and I've seen the character of the conversation, that the way that people talk changed dramatically in my 60 years. Now you can't go anywhere. Somebody can't even finish a sentence without dropping a few F-bombs. And right. Back when I was a kid, nobody talked like that. Right. You got your mouth washed out with soap.
That's one way to solve it.
But this is symptomatic of where we are as a society and where we are as individuals. When Jesus is sitting on the throne of your heart, you don't talk like that because Jesus doesn't talk like that.
Well, and I think if everybody looks in the mirror and asks the question, if they recognize what you're talking about, they'll say yes. And I think that in our day and age, what we have is, instead of men and women looking at a problem and trying to find a solution for sin, they're justifying why their sin's okay. And they're saying, no, I deserve to be angry. I deserve to be wrathful. I deserve because of what they did to me. And Jesus says, all those that are heavy laden and burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. Your social justice will not give you rest. It'll be an endless cycle of new phantom problems to chase when Jesus already solved this issue and said, come to me and I will give you rest. You want a way out of feeling malicious? You want a way out of feeling anger all the time? Come and hear about what this new man is. Come and hear about what this man at the well is talking about. Come and hear about, as the Bible describes, a man that spoke like no other man in the history of the world. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ unloads your heavy burden of anxiety, frustration, and hurt, and gives you a life that allows you to walk circumspectly and righteously before God. So what's this parable that Paul gives before we jump into the instructions?
So do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self.
This is verse 9.
Verse 9, with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
Wow.
So here we are. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that...
By the way, one of the best chapters in the whole Bible, Romans 6. Side note.
That is true.
Go ahead. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's all right. So you've put off the old self. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 6 that our old self was crucified with Jesus on the cross. Stop and think about that for a second. So this person that I was, this person that you were, or that you may be right now, this person that was bound up in anger, this person that was wrathful, a road rager, this person who had malice and couldn't stop wishing harm upon others, this person who was slanderous, who took every opportunity to curse other people and say how horrible they were, this person who couldn't finish a sentence without one or more four-letter words. So this person, that is the old self. That's the old self. And this is the one that the Bible says, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that old self was the one who was crucified with Jesus. And so he says, seeing you have already put that old self off, if you've believed in Jesus, and you've put on this new self. Who's this new self? And we're going to learn a little bit about the new self, but the new self is the one that's created in the image of God on the inside. Your spirit's been made alive, created after the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And I love that, because here at Old Line, Young Line, we're not that interested in giving you an exchange of a new set of rules to live by. We're not like that excited. You know, it doesn't really get me excited for me to learn a new code of conduct, for me to memorize a new work manual at another church. And sometimes some of these organizations that throw church up on top of their entrance, or they throw the word church up on top of their building, they're selling you a bill of goods that says, if you just try harder, you might be able to do better at this life. And what we want to teach here at Old Lion, Young Lion is not a truncated gospel, but a gospel that has power to change, a gospel that has power to make things new, a gospel that says what the Bible says is true, that when power from on high is endued to you, you can be made new. And I think that's something that we need to explore and that you need to explore. You will not be able to turn over a new leaf. You can be made into something new that is tailored after the creator who made it. And that's Jesus Christ. And so this gospel that's mentioned in the book of Colossians, it is the most powerful piece of information. And the good news, the gospel, is not just informative, it's transformative. And so let's look at some of these things that it talks about in verse number 12.
Yeah, before we get to 12, though, let's not skip 11.
Okay, go
just,
ahead.
Just to put an exclamation point on what Anthony just said. It says, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And we need to understand the only people, there's a lot of talk these days about systemic racism. There's a lot of talk about hating one another and having malice and envy and hating people from this country or that country and the wars that are going on there. In Christ, there are none of these superficial differences. Christ is everything and in everyone. And so we don't look at people the same way the world looks at people. We don't look at what we see on the outside. We look upon the man's heart. And there's only two types of people, the Bible says. There's those who have been redeemed, who've been transformed, and there are people who are lost, people who are bound up in sins, people who have not yet been set free, people who are still that old self. And so that's how we look at people. That's how we discern between people. Is, have you been set free yet, or are you still in bondage?
And I think Paul is going to do this idea he does throughout his epistles or his letters and his books like he normally does, where he teaches you who you are before he teaches you what you do. And so we get that reversed. We want to teach people what to do so they can become who they want to become. What Jesus and Paul are teaching us is that they're going to declare a new identity, a new reality about you, and then you're going to walk in accordance with that new identity. So when he starts out in verse 12, he says, put on therefore, go forth and do this as the elect of God, the chosen of God. Before he gives some instructions on how you ought to operate, he tells you who you are, that you are chosen by God. Imagine that. Imagine back in the day when you're in elementary school, and you're sitting in the dodgeball line to get chosen. You're the last one in line, and you're sitting there, and you didn't really get chosen. The other team just had to take you if you're last. That's not how God sees this. The way that God sees this is he looks down at you and says, the joy that I look before me. He says, I endure the cross because the joy that was set before me. He loved you, and he chose you. And so now that you're aware that you've been chosen by God, here's how ye ought to live.
Such a great point. I don't think you can spend enough time on that point right there.
Agreed.
You have to understand who you are and how much God loves you. Let's start there before you do a single thing. Do you know, and I don't want to digress too much here, but when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened up and the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus. And then the words of the Father came loud and clear to everybody who was present, and they said this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God the Father said that about his Son Jesus before Jesus had ever performed a single miracle, before he had ever preached a single sermon, before he had ever healed anyone from any sickness, before he had raised anyone from the dead, before he had walked on water, before he did anything, before he even went to the cross. God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we need to understand that your faith alone, just by the fact that you look up and say, God, I believe in you. I believe you sent your son, Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again from the dead. Just that alone makes you acceptable to God. It makes you beloved by God, holy in his sight, elect, chosen by God. Just that alone. And you need to understand that, because you'll never get another inch apart from that being true.
And I think we ought to, in Paul's fashion, in his apostolic fashion, give a little warning to those who may be claiming the affirmations of God without knowing God. Mm-hmm. If you're out there and you're saying, oh man, look at what they're saying. I need to wake up every morning and say, I'm chosen by God. I am one of God's children. I am a chosen vessel to serve God today. And you are saying those things without having bowed the knee to God, without having come to a moment in your life in humility where you place your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're making claims about God without knowing God, the Bible rejects that idea. It says that you draw close with your lips, but your heart is far from him. So on one hand, these affirmations about the elect and chosen of God are the power by which you go out and do the things that he has for you to do. On the other hand, those of you that with just your mouth say you're doing things for God, but you don't know God, you are misplaced, mistaken, and in error. And you need to come before the throne of mercy and grace and say, Lord, I want to be part of your team. I want to place my faith in your son. On the other hand, for those of you that have placed your faith in Jesus and you're struggling, you should wake up every morning, just like Jesus heard the message that says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. You should recognize that that same message is being said to you. That every single man and woman that wakes up, he says, daughter, you are a child of the king. Son, you are a son of the Most High God, and you need to recognize those things as we go about the work that he has set before us and the good works that he's ordained and prepared before us. Before you go out about your day, each day you should recognize that the Almighty God has a message for you that says, you are chosen in me. Now, let's get to work. Chapter 3, verse number 12, ends with this. That you walk in kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. It continues on in verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against another man, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye forgive him. Wow. It's opposite about what the world says, right?
This is what's going to be coming out of your life, out of your spirit, out of your mouth, out of your actions, once you've made this transition from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You are going to be compassionate. You're going to look upon people, and instead of judging them, instead of despising them in the situation that they're in, you're going to feel compassion. You're going to want to say, hey, how can I help lift this person up? Compassionate hearts, kindness. You're going to be looking for opportunities to bless other people. You may have lived your whole life just wrapped up in yourself, thinking about your bucket list, thinking about how you can pad your feather your nest and build up your nest egg or whatever, and not really paying attention to everybody else. Looking at other people as though they're kind of an impediment to you, looking at other people as they're kind of something that's standing in the way of you reaching your objectives.
Or even competition.
And so it's a whole different way of acting. It's a whole different way of thinking. Humility. Humility is not considering yourself a worm. Humility is just recognizing where you are in the grand scheme. When we recognize who God is, who Jesus Christ is, you're naturally humble because you understand that we don't measure up to who he is. And so it helps keep us humble. And we look at other people. We're always trying to compare ourselves to others and make ourselves look better than others. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2, consider others more important than yourself. So you look at that person who's, maybe they're not doing as well as you in life. Maybe they're having troubles that you don't have in life. Yet somehow, by the grace of God, we are empowered to be humble and consider that person more important even than we consider ourselves.
Well, that's really good. In that passage in Philippians, when he gives that instruction, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So the way to think godly is to be is have deference on other people. The way to think godly is to have a life that's marked by forgiveness. And that is the opposite of maybe the culture that we have today. Now it's, I demand justice. I demand that you meet the needs and requirements of my justice. And I think that what the Bible is teaching here is not that you're some kind of a welcome mat or rug to be walked on, but that you stand in truth, that you stand in honor and walk in forgiveness. And then here's a little Bible study tip. In verse number 14, it starts out, the verse starts out with this, "and above all things." When you see something like "and above all things" in scripture, if you have a Bible and you have a highlighter, you should highlight that, because it's a notation that what Paul's about to say is extremely important. And he says, "above all things, put on charity," or you might understand that charity to be love. And my definition for charity has been love in action, not just some emotive feeling. But he says, "above all of the things I just said, be charitable. Walk out your love." Imagine getting the capability, enabled by the Holy Spirit, your life is dead and hid in Christ, and now the guy that makes you angry, or the guy that frustrates you, or that nephew or cousin or family member that gives you a headache, you can walk in forgiveness and charity towards that person. That's the expectation of the Christian. That's the expectation that God sets for the follower of him. This instructional verses that's in the book of Colossians, I think, is so vital and important to the Christian life, because it sets the bar to how we ought to be acting after it teaches you who you are. Colossians chapter 2 and 3 merge together to show you that your identity is the thing that forges your behaviors, not the other way around. And here we've learned this massive lesson about how we ought to walk because of who we are. Now, I want you to understand that this show, Old Lion, Young Lion, is not a show that's based on political commentary, or that's giving some thoughts about sports, or going to tell you what's going on at the White House or across the world. What we are is a show, Old Lion, Young Lion. We take the responsibility of uncovering truth from the Word of God and declaring it boldly. We hope that you continue to walk with us on this journey, and we pray that you will be blessed.
We'll see you at church. Send us an email at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com.